The Tour Bus Music Show, Episode 41.
You're listening to the Audius Maximus Network. Expand your mind. Widen your world. Many countries. One nation. www.audiusmaximus.com.
Hey guys, this is Terry from Winborn, and you're listening to the Tour Bus Music Show.
The Tour Bus Music Show. Your link to live music. Rock out with your pod out. www.thetourbusmusicshow.com.
Born to be wild. More than a song, more than the theme of a culture, and more than a way of life. It brings visions of life on your own terms, a sense of freedom and adventure. It could also bring to mind the living embodiment of the song in the remarkably talented and lovely Miss Jasmine Kane. Born in the heart of the Iron Horse Territory, Sturgis, South Dakota, her life is a story of how hard work combined with talent can lead to a successful and rewarding music career, all without a record label pulling her strings. Jasmine's raspy, soulful voice and gypsy spirit weaves a spell that can enrapture the mind and entangle the heart as you listen to her singing stories that feel like they come from your own life. Combine that with her killing looks and disarming personality, and you understand why, after talking with her for about 5 minutes, you feel like you've known her your whole life. She's friendly, down to earth, and has a quick wit. But when she takes the stage, in what is often for crowds more than 1,000 to 5,000 or more people, her stage presence burns hotter than the bright lights she performs under. Welcome everyone to episode 41 of the Tour Bus Music Show. I'm your host, T-Mike, and it was my privilege to interview Jasmine Kane a few weeks back. And I have to say, it was one of my favorite interviews I've done in the over 40 shows of the Tour Bus Music Show that I've done so far. Normally, our interviews can last from 20 to 30 minutes or so. When I realized that towards the end of the interview, or really what was more of an enlightening conversation rather than an interview, it astounded me that we had been, at that point, talking for almost an hour. It was a frank and honest conversation about her life, her experiences, the challenges of maneuvering successfully through the crazy business end of a music career, our mutual love of music, playing bass, singing, and of course, motorcycles. One thing I learned about her in our conversation, that behind her warm and charming personality is a brilliant songwriter and musician with a knack for drawing in support, endorsements, and recognition of her talents. She is the current JPF Female Artist of the Year and Nashville's Music City Mayhem 2-time Female Rock Vocalist. She also holds a total of 8 JPF awards, and that is the most awards ever to be awarded to any one artist from the JPF Association. In just a few minutes, we'll be going to our interview with Jasmine Kane, and it's one that you'll want to stick around for. But first, I just wanted to let you know about a few things going on here at the Audios Maximus Network, and some things happening in the coming weeks here on the Tour Bus Music Show. As announced last week, we'll be relaunching another music show of ours that has been on hiatus for some time. The On Stage Music Show will soon be back on the air with lots of great music and interviews with a number of very talented artists and groups from other genres of music, such as blues, lighter rock, jazz, acoustic, and lots of other music styles. The On Stage Music Show will be back on the virtual air, as it is on the internet, in mid-March and will be posted bi-weekly. We've got some great talent lined up and ready to bring to the world. You'll be able to find out more after March 3rd by visiting us at www.ammpodcast.com/The Onstage Music Show. We'll also be relaunching our new Music on the Double Planet show, where for an hour per show, we'll feature just the music from the artists heard on the Tour Bus Music Show and the Onstage Music Show. New Music on the Double Planet will go live mid-April of this year. We'll also have a big surprise for a new music show that we are currently working on that may launch as early as summer 2013. It's something that has had a tremendous popularity in the past and is still in high demand today. There are still lots of details and legalities to work out before we can announce exactly what it is, but if we're successful in pulling it off, it will be worth the wait. So stay tuned here to the Tour Bus Music Show, where we'll be telling you more about this in the near future. So, suffice it to say, We have a lot of great music shows coming in the near future, and you'll be able to subscribe to all of them soon. And we'll be letting you know just how to do that and where you can find them real soon. Stay tuned to the end of the show, and we'll tell you about some great contests we have coming up starting in March, where you can win some cool prizes such as autographed CDs from some of the groups that have been on the Tour Bus Music Show in past episodes. Now a word from our sponsor, and it's off to the show. Today's episode of the Tour Bus Music Show is brought to you by Limos.com. Whether you're headed out to your favorite concert, catching a ride from the airport, or if you just want to look like a rock star for your night on the town, go to Limos.com to get the role that makes you rock.
Tales from the back of the bus.
Jasmine Kane, Nightingale. We'll be right back. Music show, Jasmine. How are you tonight?
I'm fabulous. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much for joining us. To get started, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what inspired you to pursue a career in music to begin with?
You know, I was 4 years old when I decided to be a musician. I know that seems crazy, but I had a pretty vivid dream that I remember, and I always wanted to do it. Every year on my birthday, my dad would ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I said, Dad, I'm going to be a singer and a musician. That's what I wanted to be. I knew it right from the beginning. And I never changed my mind. There were times where I tried to pursue other things that would, you know, pay the bills temporarily until I could build up a reputation and, a clientele to be able to work regularly. But music has always been the bottom line. And I always felt like I should not have a plan B. Because you'll always resort to that when times get tough. So I just didn't leave myself any other option. It's what I've always wanted. I started playing guitar at age 4. I started performing in my first bar bands at age 6. So, and I've been going my entire life. So I really have no other interests other than performing and singing and songwriting.
You know, I see that you play guitar. But what I find really sets you apart from a lot of female performers is you primarily play bass guitar as well as being the lead vocalist.
Bass is my main instrument, which does not work usually being a lead vocalist and a bass player. The two do not go together at all.
I was just going to say that because I play bass myself.
Okay.
And I mean, it's so much easier to be a guitar player or a piano player in a sense because you're following the melody of the song. But when you're playing bass, you're following the rhythm, which definitely hardly ever falls in line with the way vocals go. So it takes a special person to be able to pull that off.
I think it takes a bipolar person to pull it off. You know, you really do just kind of learn the bass part until you don't have to think about playing bass, and then you concentrate on the delivery of your vocal performance. And there are a couple songs that are so demanding on bass that, you know, they require a lot of attention, and then the vocal is on autopilot. But most of the time, you know, the bass, it was always really natural for me. I can't really explain it. I played guitar, like I said, for a lot of years. I played rhythm guitar, still to this day, right on guitar. And the entire winter, I've been touring as a solo act while the band took some time off, and I played guitar all winter long. But bass guitar was just like, I don't know what it was. Sometimes you pick up an instrument and you just know you were meant to play that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I knew. I mean, I picked up the bass and it just happened. This is what I was meant to do.
Well, before we started your interview tonight, we heard your song that is soon to be released. And by the way, thank you for letting us feature it on the show, Nightingale.
You are so welcome. You guys are getting the first listen on that one.
We get to break the record, huh?
Yes, you do.
Well, fortunately, it won't be coming out too far before it's released. So fans will be able to get it by the time this show comes out here at the end of this month. They'll just be right around the corner from being able to get it. So I won't have to suffer too long.
We won't sweat it for long. I won't leave them hanging.
Going back to the first song that we played on the show, Nightingale, as we mentioned, could you tell us a little bit behind the story of the song?
Yeah, Nightingale is actually written with one of my favorite co-writers, Paige Randall, here in Nashville, and Jeff Carin, who played guitar with me for like 6 years. He just recently left the project, but he and I have written several songs together, and all three of us together are a great writing team. The song itself basically came from my growing up and my just noticing that when you're young and when you're a little girl, how everyone teaches you about fairy tales, you know, and how, you know, you grow up and you meet this Prince Charming and everything is just falls into place and it's the way it's meant to be. But in real life, it's just so not like that. And I just felt like it was just such a, I don't know, it sets you up for disappointment, mm-hmm. you know, in a way. And so this song, the lyrics of, you know, I can never believe in fairy tales and wishing wells, was really just kind of like a realization that like fairy tales don't always exist. So
we're coming to the second song that we're going to play of yours on the show. And this one is the one that really caught my attention as we were speaking of on the Bonnie site. Mm-hmm. And it's Highway Prophet. The video, wow. Great video, by the way.
Thank you. And that is nominated for the Music City Mayhem Awards Music Video of the Year. That song is like a jewel to me because I've been involved in motorcycle events for most of my life. I'm born and raised in Sturgis, South Dakota, which is like the heart of the motorcycle right. Mecca. You know, like that's where the heartbeat is. And, you know, it's real natural progression for me to go into the motorcycle world. I've done pretty much every major motorcycle event coast to coast. And I understand their lifestyle. I understand their thoughts, their thought process. I understand the reason behind what they do and why they do it. And then this show, the TV show FX TV series, Sons of Anarchy came mm-hmm. out. And it was a huge show, very popular. I think, I don't know what season even that they're in right now. Their fifth is coming up on their sixth season, perhaps. Yeah. But it's just been a huge hit. And I've been involved with that show since the beginning, submitting all of my music to their database because they were looking for musicians that were already credible in the motorcycle world to feature as the music behind on their show. So obviously they contacted me and they wanted me to get all of my music to them so that they could, you know, review that and possibly use it for the show. And I didn't really have anything that I'd written that would really be ideal for the TV show and what they were trying to do. So I wrote Highway Prophet again with Paige and Jeff specifically for the Sons of Anarchy show and pitched it to them. They didn't end up biting on the song. So I ended up making a music video myself that was along the same lines as to what I was, you know, what I was envisioning when I wrote it.
Right.
And I used a lot of little catchphrases and things that you would hear, you know, in the motorcycle world, you know, a lot of things like never ride faster than your guardian angel could fly, things like that, you know, a lot of things that only motorcycle people or people that were involved in, you know, in the industry would understand. And it's kind of cool because it's like a little, you know, inside thing with all of us, you know.
And I guess that's another thing that we actually have a few things in common, being bass players and being able to sing. I rode bikes for a number of years.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately, don't have one right now, but eventually we'll get back into it.
You will. Your blood. You can't get
it. No, it's kind of like the limelight. You can never quite leave it alone for very long.
No, definitely not.
Jasmine Kane, Highway Prophet.
Journey.
You know, we're talking about how involved you are in the motorcycle culture. I find listening to your music, I believe that I can hear lots of different influences in your lyrics, the melodies, the way you present them. And because of that, I think most people would find themselves comparing a lot of the common challenges in their own lives to your own stories when listening to them. I mean, how do you feel about your music and how it reaches people on such a personal level?
Well, that's exactly what I hoped for. People are not one-dimensional. We all have, you know, we've all experienced several different things. And, you know, I have traveled a lot and been in a lot of different situations. And so I've been exposed to many different cultures. And I take my experiences from there and write songs based on what I've learned. And not just my own experiences. You know, I meet a lot of people and I hear their stories. And a lot of times I'm really influenced by what they have to say. And I feel like their story needs to be told in a certain way. And it just strikes a nerve in me. And when I know that when something registers with me, it seems like it comes up. It's like a bad penny. It keeps turning up. I'll meet someone who has the same story. And then that same thing will happen to me. And then, you know, someone will tell me about the same kind of thing that happened to them. And that's when I get it. Like, I'm supposed to write this song. This is when it's supposed to happen. And I really don't have anything in mind when I go in to write a song. Like, to me, the whole rule book gets thrown right out the window. There's no rules for me in the songwriting. I don't stick to a specific genre necessarily. All the stuff is definitely rock oriented, but, you know, like, that's rock driven, but it's certainly got a, you know, mainstream thing to it. It's definitely catchy. It's, you know, there's some pop elements, some punk elements, and even some metal, because in the last few years I've gotten really into the metal scene and I'm super impressed with their ability. And their lyrics are often, you know, it's not always just the like fury fueled lyrics that you would think. Mm-hmm. There's obviously a lot of angst and a lot of, you know, a lot of anger in there, but the lyrics that they write are pretty clever, actually, when you listen to a lot of it. Right. And I never really gave it a shot. So now that I'm getting more interested, I'm really having a newfound respect for that kind of music. And I've always been in different kinds of bands. Growing up, I had 4 bands running simultaneously that were all completely different. I had a funk, hip-hop, reggae band, a blues band, a country band, and a hard rock band running at the same time that I managed and booked all of them at the same time. Because I just have a thirst for knowledge of all different kinds of music. And I just believe that a story needs to be told. It just needs to be told. It doesn't necessarily have to fit a criteria. You know, it just has to be effective and it has to get through to people. And that's been my greatest attribute and my biggest detriment at the same time. Because you can't put me in a genre now. You know, I don't know what to market myself as. Am I a rock artist? Am I a pop artist? Am I a blues artist? I don't know.
How about really just an artist? Tell.
Yeah, an artist is an artist. You know, when you're a painter, you don't just paint with one color. You know, you have to use them all. So I don't see why music should be any different, honestly.
And I agree totally. You were just talking about 4 bands at one time, and you look like you're relatively unscathed, even though you chose to torture yourself like that.
Torture? That was the easiest I ever had it. You know why? Because you had 4 different bands. And only a handful of different, you know, venues that you could perform in. And it was cool because if anybody started giving you a hard time, you could just sub one of the other bands in. And it was awesome because nobody could really like rise up against you because you had total control over it. You just put a different band in there and you were still playing. You're still making money that weekend, but you just eliminated the problem.
Well, I was thinking the music would be great, but the business aspect of it is what would drive me crazy.
And the business was the easiest part.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're very fortunate.
It wasn't that bad. And I was lucky because I had all really cool people to work with. I, at that point, was able to pick and choose who I wanted to work with. Because, you know, when you're initially starting out, you work with anybody you can. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, as you start to build your reputation and your own abilities, then you get to pick and choose. And I was lucky at that time because I'd been in the other boat. Trust me.
You know, we've mentioned your ambition, and that has led to just quite a number of accomplishments. I mean, so far, you've had 4 self-released albums, which is quite a feat. At the time that this was wrote that I was reading, you had sold 20,000 plus copies. Now, I imagine you're probably well beyond that at this point.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty awesome. This is like MC Hammer in the rock world. Check that. selling those right out of the back of the truck. But, you know, it's worked out well for me because, you know, I mean, that's pure profit for us. And that just allows us to take the music that or the money that we make from that music and put it back in to what we're doing. And it makes us able to keep turning out more albums, more videos, you know, more creative projects that otherwise we would be waiting for funding or permission or it just to be, you know, taken off the shelf from a record label. So I don't feel like that's a bad thing at all.
Well, I mean, it sounds to me like you've got the business end as well as the music end wrapped up. And there's a lot of bands that would be very jealous of having something going like you have going. I mean, anytime you're releasing albums, touring, doing all of the business that you do, you know, it's quite a monumental project to keep track of. I mean, we have a lot of musicians that are just getting off the ground to listen to this show. I mean, could you talk to them maybe about some of the challenges you faced in getting your music out to the world?
I've considered doing, you know, seminars and actually touring to different places and just kind of doing talks about how to get your business going and get off the ground. It's really easy if you don't want to eat or sleep and you don't need any money. Because that's pretty much, I mean, you have to, that's why I said I had no plan B, because it gets hard. It's really hard. And you have to get very creative with how you go about doing things. You know, there's a lot of little tricks that you can learn. Like, most of the time when you're calling different places to book your shows, unless they already know you and know that you're, you know, a business person or business-minded person, they don't want to talk to you at all about business. Mm-hmm. Because musicians are typically not business-minded. And that's okay. I mean, you're not, we're not programmed that way. And to be honest with you, I can't be business-minded and go be creative. I have to be one or the other. Like, I have to set aside a period of time where I can be nothing, do nothing but creative things and not involve myself in any business whatsoever. And during that time while I'm being creative, I'm the most retarded business person ever. I mean, I can't add. I can't. Math is not my friend. I can't do anything right with business. I can't answer an email. I'm just retarded. But then, you know, when my time's up and it's time to go back into business mode, my business side is actually dominant, I feel. So it's easy for me to snap back into that. It's easier for me to go back into being the business role than it is to be creative. And I'm not sure why that is. It's totally a flip-flop from what I grew up as. But I've learned the business side well. And I guess I have a special interest in the business now because I've realized that no matter how creative you are, no matter how good you are at what you do, unless you know how to get it out there and market it, it's no good. And you're only as good as your promoter. And when you're promoting yourself, then you better be pretty good.
And that's the real key. You know, you've not only got to be an entrepreneur, you know, and a musician, but you've also got to be a marketer. You know, there's so many aspects to being a musician, especially in today's music industry.
Absolutely. And I'm the queen of guerrilla marketing. But, you know, things are changing so much and social media has changed everything.
Yes,
so,
it has.
I mean, you know, forget about standing on the street corner handing out your flyers. Those days are over. You know, now you blow up your social media. You've got your, you know, cell phone numbers on go and people look at their phone. You don't have to stand out in the rain and, you know, with your staple gun anymore.
I remember those days.
Of course you remember those days. We all remember those days. We all had to do it, you know, in the parking lot, putting the flyers under everybody's windshield. Please come to my show tonight. And then the cops chasing you out because you're like, you know, about to get arrested for vandalizing and stuff. Whatever. It's happened to all of us.
Out of all this and out of all your dedication, you've accomplished a few other things. You've managed to land yourself 8 JPF awards. Now, that's quite an accomplishment. I mean, there's not many independent musicians that can say that they've won that many awards, especially from one association.
Yeah, that's pretty mind-blowing. And we, and even that organization is made up of, like, I don't know exactly what the number is now because it's constantly growing, but the last I checked, it was like 52,000 members, voting members. And so you're basically receiving an award that's based on, you know, the opinion of all of your peers. other songwriters, composers, you know, musicians.
Right. I mean, this is not a small group deciding whether you're going to get an award or not. This is a lot of people and their voices speaking.
The only thing you do to submit was, you know, if you list your albums on CD Baby or you got your CD duplicated at Disc Makers or you're a member of Taxi, the songwriter, you know, organization, that's how you submit. I mean, they submitted it for you. Basically, every one of their members or anybody that did business with them in the last year submits your album. So I didn't even know about it. All of a sudden, blam, you're nominated for all these awards. I'm like, are you kidding me? I didn't even know that I was submitted. But CD Baby submitted me, and I got to know more about the organization. And then I realized, holy crap, they're like some serious players. Mm-hmm. Because, like, think about all those artists that are out there that had record deals that don't have record deals anymore. Well, guess what? They're all a part of this association. So, you know, you just got voted, you know, Female Artist of the Year by, you know, some of the biggest names in the industry who are performers too, you know. They voted for you.
That's were quite big names in their own right.
Yeah, these aren't dudes in suits. Like, these are people that are doing it. So they know good music. And I mean, the only thing I can credit that to is total luck from being submitted without even knowing it. I mean, like, CD Baby sent me a message. Do you want to submit? And I clicked a, you know, checkbox that said, sure, you know. They're like, well, you know, you lose one CD. We're going to send a CD out. I'm like, oh, well, you know, how many CDs do you send out on your own? You know, I submitted and then come to find out the first album that we submitted was The Inside. That was our first album. And everyone that knew me doing that first album told me that I was a complete waste of time and money for me to do that album. They're like, you're wasting your time. You don't have a fan base. You don't have anything. Why are you doing this album? I'm like, you know, I got a tour on something. You've got to have something to sell. You have to have a product in your hand.
Exactly.
To say, oh, you like the band? Buy our CD. Spread the word. But, and I realized that. So I did it. And that album was nominated for Rock Song of the Year with Help Me and Rock Album of the Year. And ended up winning both of those awards. The second album, Locks and Keys, came out in 2008.
Yeah, 2008.
And was nominated the following year in 5 awards. Now, we ended up winning 7. Is that right? No, we were nominated in 4, and we ended up winning 6. That's what it was. The 4 that we were nominated for was Rock Album of the Year, Rock Song of the Year, Hard Rock Song of the Year, and Contemporary Song of the Year. We won every single one of those categories, and on top of that, won Overall Song of the Year out of over 500,000 submissions, and I was awarded Female Artist of the Year. That is the most awards that has ever been, you know, given to any one artist. I mean, collectively, not in one night. I mean, collectively, like ever in history. And we won them in one night, one award show. You know, that was unbelievable.
And all without a record label behind you.
All without a record label. But JPF only recognizes unsigned artists. But it's a worldwide competition. So you're not just competing in the U.S. or in your state or in your, you know, this is people all over the world. And they were, you know, artists that flew in from Japan to perform at the award ceremony. We performed at the award ceremony. I mean, this is a worldwide thing. So, I mean, even though it's all unsigned artists in the world, think about that, the percentage of artists that is.
Huge.
Because most artists are unsigned, so the competition is way, way harder than just dealing with the few signed that you have, you know?
This is not the Grammys.
No, but it is superior in some ways.
I think it's superior in a lot of ways because a lot more people can speak their voice and it'd be heard.
Well, and it's not a money game.
Exactly.
It's not how much money you have behind you. It's how the quality of what you're putting out there. It really is about the quality of the music and nothing else.
And when you say that, that leads me to our next topic, your performances.
Getting
to your performances, you know, I did a lot of research before I even contacted you. And I watched a lot of your videos online. And I've got to say, you and your band put on quite a show. I mean, you got some very healthy size audiences that other groups would be jealous of. I mean, can you tell our audience here what the experience is like attending one of your shows?
Wow. Well, it's, you know, first of all, it's mostly motorcycle events. So they come in rowdy. They do not want a mellow show. They're not there to, you know, to just sit back and listen. Now, certainly, you know, there are blues bands and other, like, you know, afternoon country bands and, you know, solo acoustic acts and stuff like that that will play to just kind of like kind of help people get going with their day. But we're a hard rock act. So by the time that we get on the stage, those people are amped up and they're ready for a show. So if you don't come out with guns blazing, you're going to get some things thrown at you. You're going to be in trouble. So it's all about the attitude. It's about the energy. And we have a great deal of energy on stage. It's very high energy. Our shows are marathons. They're, you know, a lot of times 3 hours long, which is brutal. And nonstop running across the stage. I mean, it is a total workout. Of course, I'm playing bass and throwing, you know, flying around the stage. Everyone's very active. And at the end of my show, it's become, you know, expected of me because this happened on accident initially, but has become now a total tradition where I will climb on top of the speaker stacks, which is, you know, 20 plus feet in the air. Yeah. And dive into the audience and crowd surf back to the stage. And and that's like, the crowd is so amped up by that. And you have to amp them up to make that happen. Because if people weren't psyched up by the time you got to the end of your show, you know, imagine jumping into a bunch of people who've been drinking all night that are falling asleep. You know, they're just going to get out of the way. So you got to get them riled up. You got to get them wound up and let them know that you're crazy and you're about to jump on their head, you know, because otherwise, you know, I wouldn't be doing this interview with you.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, Jasmine Kane does her own stunts.
Yes.
We're going to get to another song. Speaking of rowdy, we're going to do a song now called Whiskey Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about this one?
Whiskey Kiss was written with a couple of different people in mind, ex-band members that I had. And the actual phrase Whiskey Kiss actually came from a friend of mine in a band called Blackberry Smoke. If you ever get a chance to see them, they are phenomenal. And they have totally, like, polish their act. They are on fire right now. But Charlie Starr is the lead singer of Blackberry Smoke, and I've known these guys for many, many years. We did the motorcycle circuit together for a lot of years, and I booked them their first shows at Full Throttle Saloon in Sturgis. So, because I used to do all the bookings for that venue. So when, you know, I met up with them in Nashville, which is where I live now, they were playing at a bar there, and I went down to see them. And back then, they were drinking a lot. Like, they were unbelievably drunk throughout their show. Still a great show, but just, you know, a lot of alcohol. And Charlie had a whole line of Jack Daniel's shots lined up and hadn't had a chance to drink them throughout the set. So at the end of the set, he shoots about 8 of these Jack shots. Ooh. Like right there in a row. And now he is reeling from the shots. And he came up to me. And I told him, I said, hey, Charlie, man, I'm going to jet out. It's time for me to take off. And he's like, oh, man, you can't leave. I'm going to give you a whiskey kiss. And he was just a mess. And I was like, oh, babe, save it for me. I'll get it in Sturgis. And on my way home, I was driving. I was like, whiskey kiss. What a great title for a song. I was like, that'd be such a great song title. Of course, I told you, like, when it's time to write a song, I get blasted. Like, things keep coming up. So that was the initial trigger that, like, wow, that's a cool song title. But then, you know, I had a problem with, you know, one of the guys in my band was a severe alcoholic, and I had to let him go and send him back to South Dakota. And one of the other guys in my band, you know, was having troubles with alcohol, and, you know, I had to send him down the road. And it was just kind of like, I told everybody to take a year off and come back and we'd start up again. And in a year came and went, and nobody came back but me. So I had to start all over again and rebuild my band. But Whiskey Kiss was, you know, just all about, you know, I don't need your whiskey kiss. You know, it was the whole, like, fight for control over the alcohol because, you know, hey, it's affected all of us on the road at one point or another. You know, we've all had our moment, our sit down with Jack Daniels.
Oh, yeah. Too many to count.
Too many to count.
Jasmine Kane, Whiskey Kiss.
Wasted angel, unsightly pale, sweat beads on my face. Waking memory, guess I could be overnight disgrace.
whiskey kiss. I'm not ashamed, wild and untamed. Something's got to give. Broken home with broken bones. Some things you can't forgive. His lips I've tasted, they've left me wasted, and I find it hard to.
When we were talking, getting ready for the interview a few days ago, you said you were just returning from the NAMM show in Anaheim.
Yeah.
What do you think of this year's show, and exactly how were you involved in the show?
Well, this year I was there just representing Warwick Basses, which is my primary endorsement company. I've played Warwick Basses for years, well before I was an endorsed artist. And I just believe in the company and the basses so much that I refuse to play anything else. I got my first Warwick bass in when I was performing in a band back home in South Dakota. They wanted to do some recording and they wanted me to have a quality instrument. I went to Guitar Center, played every bass on the wall and hated them all. Like, did not find one that I loved. And as I was leaving the store, the sales guy came up to me and said, "Hey, we just got this new kind of guitar. It's called a Warwick bass. Do you want to try it out?" And I'm like, "Man, I'm bassed out. Like, I'm just going to go." And he's like, "No, you got to give it a shot. You played everything else here." So I said, "All right." And I went back and I plugged the bass in and I played one note and said, "I'll take it." It was the most amazing sounding bass I've ever heard in my life. And to this day, it's my favorite one I've ever touched. Always been a big fan of that company. And a lot of people are starting to catch on and go, you know, switch over to Warwick basses because they realize they're just so superior to what's out there. So this year I was just there for Warwick. I have in the past, you know, I have several endorsements through like EMG pickups. And in 2008 and 2009, you know, I did booth signings for EMG pickups and told people about their products. Also signed on with Line 6 wireless units. We use those at our shows. ESP Guitars has been completely instrumental in especially my acoustic shows this winter because I'm touring on an acoustic album right now all winter long while the band took a break to kind of rest up. And I played ESP Guitars on my entire Modern Day Gypsy tour this winter. And they're super cool to work with. They've been totally accommodating to me, and anything they can do to help is they're willing to lend a hand. So that's way cool. I like to work with companies that want to work with me, you know. I'm in front of large audiences. I do a lot of things. GHS Strings just came on as an endorser. You know, we have a few other smaller things like in-tune guitar picks and stuff like that. But we're basically... When you're out on the road, you know, things happen, and we fly into dates, like fly in to do gigs and whatnot. Now, it's really cool to have these companies like kind of linking arms with you. So, you know, in case you can't fly with something like your amps, you know, you can call the company and say, hey, man, I need, you know, a couple of these amps to be at this location when I get there. And they'll have a supply company make that happen. And that's like, that's worth gold to somebody that's touring a bunch. You know, you got to have the support of your companies out there. And when I first went to seek out endorsements, I was like the most retarded person on the block. I had my, you know, my rolling suitcase full of promo packs. And I mean, I put sick money into my press kits, you know, like they were like $20 to $25 a piece and all the CDs and the 8x10s and the everything. I mean, I had it all with me. And then like last minute printed up a couple of business cards, you know, went into NAMM with my suitcase. And I'm like, I bought a badge from somebody outside to use for an hour. I gave them like $50, like something like that, and used their badge for an hour. And then they gave me my $50 back when I brought them the badge back.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's how I got my first endorsement deal. I ran in through NAMM and was like, hey, my name's Jasmine Kane and you need me on your roster. And here's why. Boom, 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 bullet points. And then, you know, tried to give them a press kit and they're like, oh my God, I don't want to carry this crap around. You know? So I was like, all the press kits, all the CDs was a total waste of time. What they're looking for is a business card or a download card. They put in their pocket, they put in their badge, and they deal with it 2 weeks later when they get home and they get over NAMM, because NAMM is hell.
Yeah.
It's like 4 days of pure hell. You don't remember who you met, where you were, what day it is. Like, you have no idea. It's just nonstop go for like four or five days.
And there's so much going on there.
Oh, there's way more than you could ever see. You're never going to see it all.
No.
But, you know, I always go in. I always reestablish my connections with the endorsement companies I already have, shake their hand, say thank you for everything you do. Tell them what you've got coming up for the current year. Keep them interested in what you're doing, because it really is an out of sight, out of mind world. So you've got to stay in their face. You got to keep the buzz going. Plus, it never hurts to like stand next to Bootsy Collins in a Warwick booth, you know?
Not at all. I was going to say it's time to get a little bit personal, but we've been getting personal now for about the past half an hour. I mean, just asking something, you know, we see the Jasmine Kane that lights up on stage when you take the mic, but going behind the scenes a bit, can you tell us a little bit about the everyday Jasmine Kane and what you enjoy in life, sometimes outside the limelight?
I don't take a whole lot of time to myself. This is my life. I do like to branch out into other areas of creativity to try and stay fresh. Do paintings, you know, things like that. I'm loud and obnoxious on stage, so I'm very quiet off stage. I like to go to quiet places. I do all the driving primarily for the band. So we have a 24-foot trailer that we pull, and nobody really feels very comfortable pulling that trailer, so I do all the driving. And I drive with the radio off, always in silence. It's like my only time to think. So I spend a lot of time just kind of being quiet and trying to think. And, you know, plus, I mean, with the amount of shows that I do a year, I have no choice to rest my voice and try to take care of it the best I can, because I'm up ridiculous hours. Like I said, I'm driving, you know, 16, 20 hours at a time, and then going and doing just a power packed, you know, show for 2 to 3 hours. So every chance I get to rest, I'll do it. I'm not the best about taking care of myself. You know, other than trying to rest, you know, I'm not one of those people that eats regularly and things like that. I should probably do better about that. I was better about that, I think, when I was younger than I am now, because I think that my ADD is taking control of my life. And I can't seem to concentrate on any one thing for too long. So, you know, I'm working on an email and then I'm like, oh, man, I'm hungry. And as I get up to go find something to eat, I realize I didn't finish my email. So I go back to it and finish the email. And great, I'm glad that's over. And then I wonder what's going on Facebook. I should really put something on Twitter about the show this weekend. And then, oh my God, look at that. I got to go pack a suitcase. It's time to go. And then did I eat? No, I never ate. It's still in the microwave. You know, I don't know. I just hard time paying attention to things. I think, though, for the first time ever, in my life, I'm getting the chance to kind of like have fun because I was always so serious and so set on a goal. And it was a lot more critical when I was younger because I didn't have the context that I have now. So it was a lot more of a struggle. But now I'm actually getting to enjoy myself a little bit more. And I take a little bit more time for myself doing absolutely nothing than I ever used to do. And that's paid off a lot because there's these wrinkles in my forehead and those aren't going away.
Funny how touring will do that to you, huh?
Man.
Gosh, about 5 years for every 1 year?
Yeah. Is that what it is?
I think it's pretty much that. I toured for about 4 years, and I'll tell you, I think it put about 20 years on me.
Oh, my God.
I loved it. Don't get me wrong. I'd do it again in a heartbeat, but it does put some miles on
me. Do they make a cream for that? You know, there goes. Here's marketing 101, rock and roll eye cream. Let's design something that's just, it's like Botox in a bottle.
Well, there you go. You're the entrepreneur. There's your
Let's
next product.
Let's do it. I've got several ideas I know right now that will make me $1 million. Like this, for instance, a 40-ounce koozie. Because that's where you really need a koozie. Nobody really needs a koozie for a 12-ounce beer. That thing will be gone before you know it. But a 40? Come on. And plus, those things are disgusting, so you definitely need to keep them cold as long as you can. Right?
Well, that is brilliant.
That's what I'm saying.
I think you need
$1 million. Watch it happen.
I think you need to go to market with it.
Thank God I'm dating a intellectual property lawyer. He can get me a patent on that thing.
Well, we're going to be wrapping things up here because we've been on the line for a while. But, you know, you're no stranger to the stage and big audiences. And speaking to big audiences, you're going out to 106 countries tonight to a lot of existing fans, a lot of new fans.
Oh,
might have some European tours in your future.
Yeah. What should I wear?
Is there anything you'd like to say out to all of them? Because it's your venue. Well,
I would love to say that I hope I meet them all. I hope I get a chance to tour everywhere. I came from a very small cattle ranch in South Dakota where no one goes anywhere. No one ever leaves there. No one ever sees anything. And I decided a long time ago that I wanted to see as much of the world as I possibly could. And the only way I knew I was ever going to be able to afford that is if I was working while doing it. And this is my way of working while doing it. And I hope I get a chance to see every single one of those people in every one of those countries.
Before we go tonight, how is the best way for everyone that's listening to you tonight to find you online?
There's lots of ways to find me. I found out that if this is a word, I'm very Googleable. I have a website, jasminecane.com, also jasminecane.net. Both of them, you can contact me. I have a Facebook page. I actually have three Facebook pages, but the primary band page is Jasmine Cane Rocks. My Twitter page is at Jasmine Cane Rock, singular. And I have, you know, numerous different things out there. Reverb Nation is a great way to listen to your music. You know, you can go through and listen to everything instead of the 30-second samples you get, you know, on iTunes or CD Baby. You can actually listen to the song in its entirety and decide which ones you want to download. That's a pretty cool feature. The YouTube channel is Miss Jasmine Cane. Make sure you keep up there because here recently someone has just told me that they think that it would be wise for me to start videoing little short clips and putting them up on YouTube on my YouTube channel because everything that happens with us is so ridiculous. I'm surrounded by what I call a vortex of weirdness. And I'm not really sure how that works, but like the most unusual thing that could happen to anyone will always happen to me. And we should be videoing this stuff. Because you've got to see it. No one believes me, and they're not going to believe me unless I show them. So I'm going to put it out there.
Well, I mean, these days, if you have an Android or an iPhone, you can actually make films with those. So
that's
You've got your camera everywhere you go.
See it all. I actually had a guy just walk up to me like out of the blue this weekend while I was eating a salad and say, "Have you got the shingles shot?" Like, I don't know this guy. He just came up out of nowhere. I wasn't performing. I was eating a salad in the corner of this, you know, bar restaurant. And he wanted to know if I had gotten my shingles shot yet. No, I have not got a shingles shot. But, you know, and he asked if I had chicken pox before. And I said, yes, you know, when I was a child. And he's like, well, you could get shingles. It could be horrible. He went on to tell me about how, you know, shingles could ruin my life. And, you know, encouraged me to get that shot. So yeah, I guess I'll be looking into that soon. But who does that?
That's interesting, but you run into all types.
Oh yeah, they're everywhere, and if and they're out there, they'll find me. I love them. I am completely entertained by them.
It keeps life interesting.
Totally interesting. Well, and everybody needs a good laugh.
Oh yes. Jasmine, look, I just want to personally thank you for taking the time out of your evening to spend time with us here on the Tour Bus Music Show.
So happy to do it. Thank you so much for having me.
It's been an absolutely exceptional interview.
Thank you so much.
Before we go, we have one last song tonight, and that song is going to be Whole.
Very cool. Well, this song is kind of interesting. My keyboard player and I, his name is David, he and I were sitting at a band house in Deadwood, South Dakota, and it was early morning after like our fourth or fifth night of shows, and he was sitting out having a cup of coffee, and I got up to meet him for a cup of coffee, and sitting there, you know, I said, well, did you have any crazy dreams? Because I have the weirdest dreams in South Dakota. I always have really strange dreams. And I said, did you have a dream last night? And he said, no, I haven't had a dream in so long. And I said, that sounds like the first line of a song. So we wrote it down. And then he asked me how my voice was feeling, you know. And I said, well, every day it gets a little worse. And he goes, that's line two. So we started writing this song. And it turned out like it left right there. That's where it ended. That is, those two lines is where the song ended. And in the meantime, he started getting kind of, you know, withdrawn and got back into the pain pill addiction. He went off the deep end, went completely in left field. Then we somehow managed to convince him to consider treatment. He's been clean and sober now for 2 years.
That's great.
Which is amazing and so awesome. And we love him to death. And we're so glad he's doing well. But after he got sober and he got out of treatment, he came back and we sat down and we were talking about, you know, this song that we'd abandoned all these years ago. And we picked it up and wrote it within 10 minutes, just like that. But the first two lines started like years before. And then we finally finished it. And I was in the middle of trying to put together this acoustic album that we call Modern Day Gypsy. And this song was a perfect fit for that. Plus, I saw an opportunity for me to experiment with additional instruments that I've always loved, like ukulele and mandolin. And it kind of turned into a little bit of a battle of Evermore, you know, kind of feel. And I had a ball recording this album. Tom Boyer helped me with that and helped produce it. And he was magic in the studio. So it's a great album. If you guys are looking for that Sunday afternoon chill album, it's totally unlike anything else we've ever done. But this song in particular is super powerful.
Jasmine Kane, Whole.
Had a dream in so long. And every day's a little worse. Leave it to me to make a right so wrong. Turn a blessing into a curse. I'm a loser, a liar, a fool on fire, a sinner that's sick in the soul. You take away every day. keep my demons deep within. There is no cure for this disaster. You burn like the acid under.
Thank you again for taking the time out of your day to listen to the show. We hope you enjoyed our conversation and music with Jasmine Cain. Join us again on our next episode when we'll be featuring Familiar Sin from Orlando, Florida. But before we go, we mentioned earlier in the episode about upcoming contests. Once a month, starting in March 2013, we'll have a contest where we'll be giving away merchandise from various groups and artists that appear on our music shows, and maybe even some official Tour Bus Music Show merchandise. Autographed CDs, posters, and other cool items will be the prizes up for grabs for winning whichever type of contest we're holding that month. There will be one winner drawn from correct submissions per month. The contest may be the correct answer to trivia from a previous show. It may be an online scavenger hunt or some other crazy way that we think of for your chance to grab some cool merch. Listen here on the Tour Bus Music Show for details coming in March 2013. Don't forget, if you like the show and want to help support the show, there's lots of ways you can do it. Tell your friends about the Tour Bus Music Show and how they can jump on the bus too. You can go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating, or any rating we'd be happy to have. And please leave your comments for the show. And if you're feeling really supportive, you can visit our website at www.thetourbusmusicshow.com. If you're planning to buy music or anything else through Amazon.com, then click through our link to do it. It won't cost you any extra, but the commission we earn helps keep the bus rolling. Got a special occasion you need to rent a limo for? You can get the best rate as well as setting up a cool ride if you're going out for a night on the town, or if you just want to rock it like a star when you need a ride from the airport. Use our link on thetourbusmusicshow.com to book the role that makes you rock at limos.com. Until next time, this is T-Mike telling you to live out loud and rock out with your pot out.
The Tour Bus Music Show is a production of the Audios Maximus Network, a division of Global Stage Media. All rights reserved. All interviews and music heard on this show are used with the express permission of the copyright owners. No portion of this show may be reused without permission of the copyright owners and or Global Stage Media, LLC. For more information and show credits, please visit www.thetourbusmusicshow.com/info and www.audiosmaximus.com. Be sure to catch the show and don't miss the bus.